opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
It's been a little while since we got together. I have to say welcome back from Korea and Japan to our producer, Kyle Haskins. And Jeff, good to see you. Just got back from California.
Yeah, I was in California doing some work for with Felt Bikes this past week. So it was good, but it has been a while. I think it's been almost a month.
Since I know, we've been in the missed studio. You guys. Yeah. Before we get started, because you have a ton of stuff that's going on, I just have to give a shout out to the Broke Down Bike Club of Clifton. My husband Jason and I met them at Red Yeti in Jeffersonville. And, of course, we just started this new magazine, Extol, all about southern Indiana. And so I was fascinated. How in the world did they get here? And it's just something that they do. They go to different places. And since they're called the Broke Down Bike Club, my husband and I were both like, well, that sounds like a club we could probably join.
Right.
They were a bunch of great people. And they're organizing different rides and things. You can find them on Facebook. But I think I'm actually going to, at some point by this summer, purchase a bike from VO2 Multisport.
We will get you outfitted.
Help me out. Yes,
we will take care of you.
Well, Jeff, I mean, I don't even know where to begin because so much is going on. But one thing I think would be a good starting point, you own VO2 Multisport, mm-hmm. but if especially people who have continued to listen consistently to our podcast, you're doing so much more
right.
than just running a business.
Right.
And so I'd like to talk about what you're doing and also why.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think at some point after, you know, starting the business and a lot of people don't know that I used to be worked with with youth ministry for a long time with St. Matthew's Baptist Church from like 1999 to about 2007, 2008. And when my oldest boy kind of came into the youth program, I realized I was kind of probably getting a little too old to not relate, but he needed that freedom, I think, for me not to, you know, look over it. Felt like Dad was looking over his shoulder all the time type of thing. So I just kind of stepped away. And so I've always been actively involved in different community programs and just really, really love it because, you know, I think it's one of the questions I asked myself about a year ago. After owning the store for 6 years, now we're going into our seventh year, is, you know, what's my legacy going to be, or what am I leaving behind? And I want to leave more than just a store. I think there's a lot of wonderful programs out there, and I think for me it was just a personal choice that I wanted to kind of not step away, but maybe just step back a little bit as a business owner. And look at all these different programs that that were out there that I could get involved in and maybe use some of my influence mm-hmm. to help them out. So that's really what my goal for the next couple years, you know, as a business owner, is to really get more involved in the different community outreach programs. And it kind of adds some fulfillment, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of, you know, kick in the pants when you get out of bed
right.
in the morning. You know, because we all, no matter what we do in life, I don't care if you've got the, you know, the greatest job. I think we all look at other people and we're envious of some of the stuff that they do, but we don't walk in their shoes, so we don't know what their life's like. And they're probably looking at us thinking, man, I wish I had that lifestyle. Because I've had a lot of people come in and go, you must have the best lifestyle. You know, you get to work in bikes and running and swimming and stuff all the time. And at the end of the day, it's, you know, I still have to work.
Right.
You know, and work very hard as a business owner in a lot of hours. So I think, you know, we do look at other people and we are envious of the things that we see. That other people are doing, you know, but for me, it was just stepping back and getting involved in things that I knew gave me a little bit of passion and kind of fulfilled the day.
So. It's funny. A friend just gave us a pillow to congratulate us on the magazine, and it said, dreams don't work unless you do. And I mean, that's the thing, exactly what you're
Absolutely.
Saying. Oh, yeah. And it's just all this fun and games, but it's really putting in all that effort and those long hours.
It is. And you know, and people think that, you know, I mean, the store opens at 10 o'clock and, mm-hmm. you know, we close at 6. And in my day, you know, I grew up on a working farm and our days would start at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm used to, you know, not that I enjoy getting up,
right?
But I realize that the old saying, the early bird gets the worm, mm-hmm. is very, very true. And I think you have to get up and you have to get going. You have to get going early when the rest of the world's sleeping.
Right.
When you're building your business or trying to become more successful and little things like that. So I think for me I would go to the store every morning. I would work, and then I would just be, I'd be tired. I was like, man, what else is out there? What else can I do? And I just realized I needed to change a few things personally to reignite the passion for the sports that I so love.
Absolutely. Well, one of the initiatives that you are involved in, Citizens for a Safer River mm-hmm. Road, which you can find on Facebook and sign up, get involved. But tell me a little bit about that and any updates.
Well, I think, Brad Swope had mentioned it to me, and I'd like to probably get Brad on the show one time. Mm-hmm. Great guy. He's been a cyclist, avid cyclist for years. Phenomenal cyclist. He's been doing it for quite a while. He was a great runner, and I met Brad out about 4 or 5 years ago, and we got to talking on a ride, and he asked me what I did, and I told him. He goes, "Oh, you're going to become a good cyclist probably because at some point you won't be able to run anymore." He said, "Because that's how I got into cycling."
Right.
And it's probably very true. At some point you just kind of beat your body into submission, so you kind of get into the more of the low impact, but you can still do a lot of get a great workout in by riding. And so Brad and I became, friends and acquaintances, and we'd see one another out, and we have a mutual respect for one another. And he had kind of mentioned to me this program that they were starting, Citizens for a Safer River Road. And basically, really what it is, and a lot of people will know, even people who drive or people who bike, River Road has just become kind of it's become nightmarish for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, here recently, a very well-known attorney, Darrell Isaacs, was hit on River Road. The road is very cobbled up. It's in very bad shape. So part of the initiative, and how this came about is to really make River Road a safer place for everyone, realistically. They want to bring the speed limits down a little bit. They want to widen the road, add some shoulders for cyclists, narrow the road down a little bit, tighten things up, but also add the shoulder for the cyclist, because most of the riding that occurs out of Louisville, they have to use River Road. They don't have to, but it's the I don't want to say the quickest or the easiest, but one of our main byways to get to the East End riding.
Right.
And we've all had a lot of close calls on River Road, and people are driving too fast. I mean, up and down the road. And so what they're trying to do is, we've got the East End Bridge that'll be finished roughly, I think, maybe the fall of 2016. I could be off a little bit on timing. But somewhere between 16 to 18 months, they have to redo River Road. They have mm-hmm. to get it repaved. They've got to change a lot of stuff with the whole East End Bridge going in out there. And they're also trying to connect the 100-mile loop of trails and all that fun stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that's getting ready to happen on River Road. So one of the initiatives were to really educate people about River Road and what we need to do to it. So our hope is to add tighten the lanes up by about 12 inches, add a 20-inch shoulder on each side of the road for cyclists, which will give us about a 40-inch bike lane on each side. Obviously we would love a 48 or a 4 foot, but we'll take 40 if we can get anything. There's going to be some places on River Road that's impossible, because there's a couple bridge crossings that there's just nothing you can do. You're going to not have a shoulder. You've got to be back in the road. But I think what that will do is eliminate and alleviate some of the stress for the motorist. If they build the bike lanes and we can be in the bike lanes, it will help us get from A to B, feel a little bit safer. But it also will keep us from being in the middle of the road sometimes, because, sometimes cyclists go down there, they're 3 or 4 wide, and that's not the right way to go down River Road. But also the road's in such bad shape that sometimes we're forced off of the curb or the edge mm-hmm. of the road into the middle of the road just because it's in such bad shape. So we're all out there doing this together. The Citizens for a Safer River Road, they're just trying to raise awareness and get people involved and get the mayor involved. And we realize if we can get Mayor Fisher behind it, that this is something that I think will take off and go forward from there.
It would be nice to finally end it. This has been going on, and this is a solution mm-hmm. that everyone gets a benefit from.
Yeah, it's a solution, you know, that it's obviously a great starting point.
Absolutely.
And it will help eliminate and alleviate a lot of stresses. Mm-hmm. I'm totally behind it. We were one of the first shops that came on board, because we have a lot of group rides that we lead out of the shop, and they end up, we started avoiding River Road, just because of liability issues because of the shop. So we just stayed away from it. So our hope is that we can get this stuff going, and as they get everything repaved, they can add the shoulders and everybody can feel a little bit safer about being on River Road. And we'll eliminate everything, probably not, but it's a good starting point.
It's a really good one. And I also like how Citizens for a Safer River Road acknowledges other businesses.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Wild Eggs is a supporter, and I appreciate that. So get your updates there, and definitely you're going to want to like that page to keep in touch. So how about the University of Louisville student cycling?
Yeah, it's, you know, we one of the gentlemen that just started school at U of L actually works for me, and he had kind of approached me about maybe becoming more involved with U of L. They had approached us about a year and a half ago, and they'll tell you the same thing that I'm going to say. They kind of came in half-cocked, didn't really know where they were going, what they were doing, how they were going to do it, didn't present any kind of, you know, plan or anything for how we would be involved. And I always tell people all the time whenever they're looking for help, whether it be donations or things of that nature, always put yourself on the other side of the desk of the person you're asking something from. Because if you come in with your hand out, we get those all the time. So what differentiates you from somebody else? Mm-hmm. You know, so I always look for people who have plans, people that have an idea of what they're going to do with funding that we might help them with, or programs we might be able to, you know, put together for them. How are they going to benefit? How's it going to be mutually beneficial for both of us? Because you don't want to get involved in something that's just what we call a time suck.
Right.
You know, that just drags you down, and there's no reward behind it. Now, you might not get your reward right away, but you do see the light at the end of the tunnel. So they, you know, the first year, we just kind of I just wanted to really set back as an owner and kind of see where they were heading, how what they would do. You know, they came back to us this year much more organized. I sat down with them and said, okay, let me explain or help you guys understand maybe how we can get involved and how we can build a better partnership that's going to be a benefit to everybody involved. And so I sat down with Abner and John and a few of the other and they're college kids. That's really what they are. You know, they're 23 and younger. You know, so sitting down and talking to them and helping educate them on how to go about raising money, how to go about marketing themselves, how to go about asking the right people, how to get more people involved, was one of the things that I really have enjoyed doing with them. You know, I've been working with them now for about 4 months, and I've seen some market gains. You know, I went to some of their meetings. In the first meeting I went to, their cycling meeting, I thought I was going to pull my hair out. I literally, it was so funny. John, who worked, he knows me very well because he's worked for me for 2 years, and he could look across the room and see my face, and he was like, I'm so sorry. Oh. You know, he would, and because there was just no organization.
Yeah.
So one of the things I did after the first meeting is I sat down with the president and a few of the guys that are on the board there, and I said, okay, so whenever you have a meeting and you have other people there, guest speakers like myself or other people coming in, you need to have an agenda. So let's go about how we're going to send an agenda. So these are all of the things that we've been working on with them. And it's been really, really exciting. They just had their first road race. I think they had 3 wins and a couple second places, I think. And their ultimate goal is to become a D1 varsity sport. Mm-hmm. That's their goal. To get there, it's going to take a lot, a whole lot. And I have said to them, you probably will not see the fruits of your labor.
Right.
In the time frame you're here, it might be 3 years, it might be 5 years, but at some point, I think we can get it there because of all of the. I mean, this town is so. I mean, they have such a cycling initiative in this town, mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that someday that maybe we can get to the point where, you know, U of L has a D1 cycling program,
awesome.
And that would be great, and because there's scholarships involved with that. So, you know, we've been in talks with some of the people that, that sit on the board of trustees that are very good friends with Tom Jurich and things of that nature. So that's kind of where I kind of come into play is more the management side for them and to help them get in front of the right people and to put together the programs and how to implement those programs. So it's been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. There are some stressors that come with it, and I think sometimes they don't know how to take me. But they are young, and I'm a little older and more saged, you know, a little more gray hair. Let's say, it's a good learning experience for them to understand the professionalism of what they're trying to do. Because when you go to the university and you go to Tom Jurich, because ultimately that's who you're going to be presenting mm-hmm. it to. And if you want to become a D1 cycling school, and you're going to be asking the university to provide some type of scholarships to athletes at some point in time, you better have it together. I mean, that's just that simple. And that's what we're trying to do is help them get to the point where they've got it together. And I think they're definitely headed down the right path.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to having some of them on.
Yeah, most definitely.
Future cast. What about Red Zone Junior Cycling?
It's been an up and down, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's the honest, but I think we're in a really good spot now. About a little over a year ago, the president and founder of Red Zone here in Louisville, John Haley, was in the process. He was transferred to California, Northern California. He works for GM. Okay. And so he was transferred out there. And, you know, as most organizations go, you have to be real careful in how you set your organization up. It's a 501c3. Mm-hmm. But when you don't – what I feel like is when you don't put the right people in place – and you do most of the lion's share of the work, mm-hmm. when you leave, the passion for that organization goes with you. And I think I saw a little bit of that happening. And a lot of the parents wanted to get involved, but they didn't know how to get involved. Right. So we were kind of the VO2 as a shop was kind of the hinge in the gate. That kind of kept it together because the kids were coming to us. They were, you know, the parents used us for whether it be taking care of their bikes or, you know, coaching services mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So, you know, I sat down and talked to, you know, some of the parents and you know, I think everybody was trying to figure out where they fit in, how to get everybody to fit in. And some of the, you know, the donors, you know, the financial backers were trying to, you know, get people and how to get some of the parents more involved. And that's been a little bit of a process because for so many years they didn't, I don't want to say they didn't have to, but they weren't asked to get involved as right. much. And so I think now they're being a little bit more being asked of them, which is good because I think parent involvement is huge, especially when you have a junior cycling program. It's still one of the premier junior elite cycling programs in the country. We have, I think, two or three national champions in cyclocross or mountain bike that actually ride in the program. You know, we've lost some of our older kids. They've kind of grown up and moved on. And then we've got a large group of, let's say, fourth, fifth graders up to, let's say, eighth graders. So we have a big core group from that 9, 10 up to about 14, 13, 14. And then some of the, like I said, some of the older kids have, they're kind of graduating out, but they're still there and they still help out. So it's been fun and I really, really enjoy it. We just started, new mountain bike skills clinic on Wednesday night. So if you have children and you want to get them involved in cycling, we meet at Seneca Park, at 6 o'clock at the, basketball courts. Brian Siegel, one of the parents there, he leads the mountain bike skills clinic. And the nice thing about it is it's not just us out there doing the skills clinic. We have some of the top mountain bike riders in this part of the state come in and teach some of the clinics, some of the ones that the kids have heard about for years, some of the racers that they just kind of like googly-eyed over
right.
type of thing. So last night was the first night. I think there were probably 12 or 15 kids and probably 5 or 6 elite mountain bikers out there teaching the clinics or helping with the clinics. So that's part of the responsibility if you race for VO2 is I require all of our racers to get involved with Red Zone. just kind of a mentor program. I think it's very, very important. Mm-hmm. So if people can't commit to that race for us, then really I can't have you race for the team.
Right.
Because we do a lot of stuff for you, and that's the only thing I really require out of you, mm-hmm. is that you do that and you kind of pass it forward, type of thing. So it's important for me to see that. And it doesn't matter if you're a runner or a swimmer, mm-hmm. or a cyclist. We want you working with the youth in some form or fashion if you can. So those are just a few of the programs that I'm intimately involved in.
Right.
On a daily basis. So it's been good. It's been really good. So.
Well, I also want to do a quick update. Amy McMullen was on here before. You can follow her, fitwithflash.com. And teaches classes, mm-hmm. at VO2 Multisport.
Yep.
And in the next 4 weeks, we'll be heading out to California, Colorado, Canada,
yeah.
with Tango, of course.
Yes.
And who knows?
Yeah,
she's going to be missed.
When she came to me and approached me and told me that she was going to be leaving, that she was working on selling her business to, mm-hmm. to someone else and had a contract and that they were going to continue the classes. I mean, she is very well liked and loved.
Yeah, she is.
At VO2 with all the classes. But as she always says, she's heading to Canada to be with her man friend.
Yeah.
So she's got a little road trip adventure ahead of her for about a month, and then she'll be in Canada, I think, after that. And I'm happy for her, very, mm-hmm. very excited. We're obviously sad that she's heading out, but she's going to be in a better place for herself, and at the end of the day, that's what you want.
Absolutely. Well, what about Whiskey? How's Whiskey doing?
He's actually doing really, really good. I think we're about 9 weeks removed from his near-fatal car accident.
Gosh.
He's getting around the shop, and honestly, if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. His fur hasn't really grown back on all of his legs yet, but that's the only way you can really tell. But he seems to be, for the most part,
he's fine,
healing.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't see him out sprinting as much yet, but they said that would probably be about a 6 to 8 month till he got his full strength back, and he felt comfortable doing that. I mean, he's still a pretty agile dog, and he wants to get up and get going, but I notice it's just not quite there yet. But I kind of let him go at his pace at this point because, I mean, we're, like I said, about 9 weeks out from the surgery and stuff. So at this point, if anything was going to go wrong, it should have already went wrong. So he doesn't seem to be irritated or bothered by the plates in his legs. So it's amazing.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Love that. Absolutely love that.
Most definitely.
And had to update, my dog house now consists of 5 canines.
I saw that monster dog. He is huge.
Jake from State Farm. That's how they named him.
Oh.
He lived outside on a chain for about 3 years and was never around people, never around animals, and basically fed when they remembered.
Right.
And somebody convinced the owner to give Jake up. Southern Indiana Animal Rescue pulled him from a shelter. He was getting ready to be shipped from Indiana to Chicago, mm-hmm. because sometimes the rescues will do that. But Jake had heartworm. Mm. And thankfully, he was healed and treated. And then he was in a foster home for 4 months until we took one look at him and just fell in love.
He needs a keg around his neck.
Everybody says that, and I Googled it online.
Do
and so, yes, and we will absolutely, absolutely get one. But he's a full-bred St. Bernard.
Wow.
And so we're learning about their personalities. And one of the things is he's not a morning person or dog.
Right.
He will not get up if he doesn't feel like it. If he wants to eat breakfast, he'll eat breakfast. But if he doesn't want to do it until it's 12, then he's like a teenager is what he reminds me of.
There you go, then.
But he is, so we now have 5 dogs, a cat named Wally, and a fish named Jamal. So I think we're at capacity, although the pig.
Yeah.
I keep watching your videos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she gets more and more stubborn.
God.
It's ridiculous.
I love her.
She's really into bugging the other dogs about their food.
Yeah.
It doesn't go over
well for her.
No, she got beat up the other day pretty bad.
Like, come on, you're bacon.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's what I'm thinking. The dogs are like, oh, that kind of tasted good.
They
get after her pretty. But her, people don't realize how tough the hide on a pig. I mean, it is tough. And I watched one of our dogs, Spark Plug, just grab her by the back of her neck and throw her around because she tried to get in her bowl. And I'm like, well,
don't do that.
Number one, don't get in her bowl. And it's like it never even fazed her. She just like start.
Well, she's just right gonna get bigger.
I mean, it's like whatever.
So. Okay, final question: are you at all into this whole NCAA madness?
I bleed blue. I mean, I'm a UK
fan.
So
then you're excited.
Well, obviously it's like a nervous apprehension. It's like you're like, okay, when are the wheels going to come off the bus? And I think everybody's like that. It's like, you know, it's impressive. Regardless if you're a UK fan or a U of L, if it were U of L and they were 34-0, it's impressive.
It absolutely
I don't care
is.
If you play in the SEC or you play in the ACC or what. No matter what, if you have that kind of record, you're number one, every game you play, everybody plays to another level.
Right.
Because they want to be the team to knock you off. Mm-hmm. They want to dethrone you. Mm-hmm. So every game they go into bracket time, starting this weekend, everybody's going to be playing at a different level because they all want to knock off that team. They all want to be the team who beat UK. Yeah. So, you know, so I'm excited. You know, I love this time of year. I love watching anytime it's like playoff time or tournament time. That's when I think you see the true grit of players and athletes, whether it's you know collegiately or professionally. I don't like baseball that much, but man, when it gets to October,
it's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. You know, it's fun. So looking forward to it. So I'm excited.
Good. Well, I can just say go Cards, but I still am watching those Cats and hoping for
It'd be cool. If they go 40, that's history. I mean,
absolutely.
It's crazy. So
good. Well, good to see Kyle. Good to see you, Jeff.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, which you can check out online at VO2-Multisport.com. Get fit, Louisville.